We're at that season now where the silly season's nearly over, which is a good thing. But everybody's thinking of holidays now and getting away and things like that. I remember we've been on holiday a good number of times, and it's interesting, and probably you've been away on holiday. And if you're looking to your holidays this year, looking to plan to go away, you're looking at maybe different places around the world, I'd say give Debbie a shout, and she can give you at least a very competitive, if not better, price than anybody else can, because that's what she does. So do check that out. But, you know, it's interesting that we go on holiday, and I don't know if you've been or you may have been, but it's interesting. You go, first of all, usually you get up early. You've not really slept, because you're kind of excited, but you've got that uneasy feeling about the whole thing. So you may not have slept so good. You get up early and you shoot off in a taxi, usually around the M62. You're on your way to the airport. It's too early and you get there and you're confronted with not quite knowing exactly where you should be going, what you should be doing. And you get into a queue and it just seems to take forever. And then you go through the whole check-in. You're concerned if your bag heavy enough. I mean, do you do that? Do you try weighing it? Thinking how much you weigh and how much, trying to weigh it up. And then eventually you get your bags over and you're underweight slightly and you wish you'd put your air dryer in or something. And you're kind of working that all through and your bags go off. And then you go off and you think, this is great. And then you get in the next queue. And it just goes on and on and on. And you get to the front and you've almost got to give a DNA sample. I mean, if you've ever been to America, it's fingerprints and all sorts nowadays. And you go through scanners, and some scanners you just walk through and you're dreading, have I took my earrings out and my rings? And you almost, I remember years ago when we first had this shoe bomber, we were in America at the time, and coming back, you had to almost strip down to your trousers and T-shirt, everything. I mean, it was so sensitive. They were putting people against walls and shaking them down. I mean, nowadays you've got to stand in that little booth, haven't you? You just open, you've not left a sweet in your back pocket or something. And that's the sort of thing you've got to go for. And then eventually you're through to the lounge and people's trying to squirt perfume on you and an aftershave. And then you get through to the next section and you're gagging for a drink, but you look at the price and it's like at least got another zero on the end of what it is outside of the airport. And it's all hustle and bustle, and you're looking at people wondering why they're drinking at 6 o'clock in the morning. They're hitting the bottles and stuff, and then eventually your gate's called, and you rush off because the panic occurs. They've called you, and you rush off, and you get to the gate, and there's nobody there. And you're all waiting. Come on. You know what I mean? And nothing's happening, and suddenly it's like, last call for anything. We need to get on, and there's a rush, a panic. You all get on, and you're all crammed into seats, and the person in front of you insists on putting their seat back, and it's in your face, and you sat next to somebody that don't know boundaries, because their body's moving over the armrests, and you're leaning, and it kind of gets awkward, and eventually you set off, and you're on your way, and you think you're at the end of the runway. And then you can see people's fingers start to crawl around the ends of the seats. You're not even taken off yet. And people are starting to wonder. And off they go. You've had all this sign language going on there and here. And who really cares? Does anybody ever watch that? We've all seen it so many times, but we show them respect. We watch. But you're looking at somebody who's in the seat opposite you, who's got a big coat on and they're sweating, and you're wondering, is that a terrorist? You know what I mean? What's going on? And he set off. And I actually really believe that planes only take off. The science behind planes is willpower. It goes down that runway. And everyone's going, yes, 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 yes. Whereas it's better than Santa Claus in his reindeer. And off it goes. And you think it's brilliant. And it turns. And he can see houses. And then you panic sets in, you're thinking, we're up there again. And then it carries on. And you think, this is great. Then they bring out the trolleys, and that's even more expensive. You can pay, £3 for a can of Coke. And then they all rush away because we're turbulent. And we're all going through the check-in. panic kicks in. One of the planes we were on, I was busting for a wee, and we'd been in turbulence for so long, I just thought, I'm off to loo. And it, one of those, you know, grab the walls, you know, to sort of thing you just needed. But turbulence kicks in, and the plane's all over the place. We'd been in turbulence where even the stewardesses wouldn't come out because it was so bad. And I thought it was great. Looking out the window, there's lightning below us, there's lightning above us, and I thought it was amazing. But the rest of the plane is in a hush. All praying to God and Allah and Buddha and whoever else are believing. You know, there's people praying in tongues, not even Christians, you know what I mean? You get a reality check then, don't you? And it's bouncing around. And then it starts descending. You can tell you're descending because your ears start to, you're looking for your sweets. Give me something to eat quickly. He's trying to swallow, blow your nose. And your ears are killing him. And this kid starts to scream because his ears are just playing up. And he come crashing in almost onto that runway. And you get out and you think, that's over and done with. And then suddenly you're met by somebody who don't really speak English. And they direct you to a coach with a guy that looks buzz-eyed. And his name's Pedro, and I'm the bus driver. And he walks around, and you're wondering, what the heck? And he shoots around them streets and alleyways, and he stops, and you're all hitting your heads against seats, and you're pushing back and throwing your cases on and off, and it's chaos. But why do we do that? Why? Because we have a dream of that angelic, that pool, or the beach, or the theme park, or something where we can relax and chill out with his book, and we just rest. We go through all that. The airport, the buses, the taxis, the horse, we like cattle. We go through all that because of a dream of the 2 weeks or a week or 10 days or whatever, next to a pool, next to a beach, next to somewhere where we can relax. Maybe we go through all that trouble and hassle just for 2 weeks, sunbathing maybe, or whatever it might be for you. But when we bring it back to us right now, we've had different words, and we started off with Romans 5, where it says, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope, and hope doesn't disappoint us. We've had words about crossing over and jumping in. We've had words about we need to step forward, and the time's coming where we might not be able to step over because it's gone. I actually do believe in a God of a second chance, but I also believe in a God who goes, you've had your chance. You've had your chance. I've told you for too long. We've moved on. But we go through all that experience of the trouble for the airport and the trouble of the travel to get to a pool that lasts only for a week or 2 weeks. And yet God says that we're going to have trouble in this world for our lifetime so we can spend eternity with him. If we are prepared to go through the trouble of an, I know some people are quite well off, so they pay for extra bit where they go into that little room at the side. I've never been there. It's like that curtain on Wizard of Oz. We don't know what's in that room. Some people pay to go in there and they eat as much as they want, and then they get on the plane first, as if it's going to set off any faster. And they get the bigger seats, more comfy. Which makes me smile, because if it crashes, we're all going down. You know what I mean? And I know some people seem to have an easier experience. But at the end of the day, we're all on a journey in our lives. We're all going somewhere. And without being too blunt, it often is in the creme or the graveside. But that's not the end for us. That's just a journeying to the destination. Like when you go on holiday, it's a journey. I love the journey when I'm going on holiday. I love it. I love the experience. I love the bustle and the hassle and all that. It's not that I enjoy it, but I'm a people watcher. But in our lives, we go through ups and downs. We go through trials and tribulations. And we're going through all these, Ruth says, the doors. On a journey. Because we've got a further destination. Jesus says to us, you know, be of good joy, be of courage, be of good heart. Trust in God, he said, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, or many mansions, depends which version you read. You know, and I'm going to go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come back for you. I'm going to come back. That's what he's told us. That's what he's promised us. You are going to have tribulation, he says. You're going to have trouble. He did say, as Andy said, take up your cross. Follow me. He didn't say you're on holiday till you get to your destination. You're going on a journey to the destination. We want a life as being on holiday where we pampered all our life to then go to be with Jesus. Jesus never said that. In fact, it almost implies the opposite. If you read Luke 16, he talks about a man who lived in wealth and luxury. And he ended up in a dismal place. A place of torment. Yet the one who'd suffered throughout life, who trusted in God, ended up at the right place. And that's entirely up to you. It is interesting. If you did want to book an holiday, and you saw Debbie, and Debbie did a tailor-made holiday for you, you're going to have to go through the taxi and then the airport, and you're going to have to go through a bus, but eventually you'll get there. And then Debbie said this to you. This will get your ears all pricked up. He said, it's free of charge. It's free. The only thing is, you don't know when the taxi's coming for you. But you've got to be ready. You've got to live your life with your suitcase ready to go, with your passport in your pocket, with your dollars, euros, or whatever it might be, your cash ready. You've got to be ready. Anyway, it could come at midnight. It could come at 6 in the morning. It could come when you're at work. But you've got to be ready. And here's another bonus, says Debbie, that you can bring anybody else with you. All you've got to do is tell them. They have to be ready. But they've got to be ready with their suitcases and their passports and their money. They've got to be prepared to get on that in that taxi and go through the airport. They've got to be prepared to suffer the plane to get to the destination. But you don't know when the taxi is going to come. Would you go for it? The taxi might turn up in the next week, the next month, the next year. Would you go for it? Yet Jesus did tell us, I'm going to prepare a place for you, but you don't know when I'm coming back for you. I'm getting a place ready for you, but until that time's ready, you need to be ready to go. And you can bring anybody else along with you. You can bring anyone you love along with you if they are ready as well. See, we might risk it if Debbie says, I'll get you an holiday, it's free of charge. And you're going to your dream destination, and the taxi might come in the next few months. You might be, oh, I'll put up with that. But Jesus says you might spend a lifetime down here. A lifetime down here. And I know many people in this room, you've known people who've been saved for a long time. They've passed away and they've gone ahead of us. And some of us may pass away and go ahead of us. But there is a day coming when Jesus said, I'll come back for you. And it won't be Pedro who drives the bus, who's buzz-eyed. It'll be, you know, Jesus on a white horse with all the heavenly hosts and all those who's gone before us coming to say, now it's the time. You see, Jesus said that, you know, if you look at the Old Testament, the New Testament, when people talk about the Big Ten, Jesus actually almost did away with all the Big Ten. He actually modernized them, upgraded them, and in himself, he fulfilled them all. And it got me concerned because there's no way in the New Testament they talk about where we've got to stop having the Sabbath off. But Jesus said, I am your Sabbath. I am your rest. In me, you don't have to live a life of constant labor and hard work. In the world's view, But he still needs workers to go in the fields. He needs people that rest in Jesus and then go do the job they've got for him. He says, we end this year. I better get into the Bible, aren't I? Because you don't like that. Give me a Bible verse, please. You know, if you read, I love the Psalms, and Psalm 103 is probably my favorite Psalm. And we often go through the first few verses, praise the Lord, all my soul, and we go through them. But then you get to a point where verse 6 says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Jesus says you will have opposition. You will be oppressed. But he says this, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. I think that those people who's gone ahead of us, they're not going, looking back, going, you know what, I wish I'd have done more of this and more of that. You know, I wish I'd spent more time at work. I wish I'd have gone on holiday more. I wish I'd have, you know, done a bit more of my selfishness, whatever that might be. But in front of Jesus, I'm probably going, I wish I'd have spent more time searching after you, Lord. I wish I'd have spent more time seeking your face. And then you get crazy preachers down here telling you, go after Jesus, go after his word, go after Jesus, go after his word. That's all right, but you know, I need a bit of me time. You know, when you're on the journey on holiday, I know some people turn up at the airport looking like they're at the side of a beach. Why do people do that? Flip-flops on in an hotel, in an airport, and shorts in England. With big dangly earrings and bangles that go up and out, ching, 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 ching. Why? I don't get it. But on the journey of life, we rest when we get to the other side. But on the journey, we have a job to do. And if God's saying to us, it's time to cross that line, it's not time to go, I'm going to pray about that. You know, if the commander-in-chief in an army says, it's time to get up, people don't go, we'll have a vote. It's, yes, sir. And we're part of God's family. But he is also our commander-in-chief. And when he says stand, we go, yes, sir. And when he says it's time to move, we go, we're moving. When he said it's time to pray, we pray. When it's time to fast, we fast. When he said it's time to praise, we praise. We don't go, I don't feel like it. We say, yes, sir. The problem is, and I've been there, but often in the next level down, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, when God tells them and then they tell the people go, well, I'll obey Jesus, but I don't know about you. You see, if God, that's why I thought this morning it was good to just listen to God, because God's saying what I've got down on my piece of paper. And he said, it's time to cross the line. Jo reminded me of a verse. She actually says she had some more stuff. But one of them was a proverb that talks about how a dog returns to his vomit. That when you cross the line, you can't go back. No matter how you feel, no matter what troubles ahead of you. See, when I became a Christian, I made choices in my life, but I left things behind me regardless. And some people think I'm a hard-headed, hard-hearted nutcase. Some of that might have been right. But the truth is, I cannot afford to go back to a lifestyle. I cannot go back to the emotion, to the memories of what was when I'm living today and moving forward. Because all there is behind any one of us is a load of skeletons that usually causes pain and problems. And that's why the Bible says, you know, we look forward, looking onto Jesus. We have a testimony of the goodness of God. But wherever I sit sucking my thumb, thinking about how awful X, Y, and Z was, I am not on the journey that God's got for me. If I went to the airport and I sat in the check-in going, I've been here before, I've been here, it's a mess, I don't like the person in front of me, I'm not doing this, and got uppity, the person at the desk would go, I don't care. Next. Well, last time they insulted me. Last time they even took my DNA sample almost. They took my fingerprints. We don't do that yet. How many of us say, I've been here before, but, and we get uppity? Well, maybe we didn't learn the lesson. We went through an airport in Israel. Now, that is interesting. Israel don't care. They don't care. We walked in. There was a family with kids there. They're quite nice to families with kids. They took them through. See, in Israel, you go to security first, and they don't have big scanners, but to ask you questions. So they're asking the kids questions, and mum and dad looked there, and they ushered them through. That were good. Joe and I, they asked us questions, and they asked if we'd been anywhere, and we said, yeah, we'd been to this place, and we'd been here. And how did that go? And I said, I think I saw you at Tel Aviv Airport, because we popped up there. So we're chatting. And we showed them a receipt. They asked, did he have a receipt? So we showed them a receipt. And they saw other receipts. And they asked about them. So we got good. Then it's open your suitcase. It looks all right to me. It smells okay as well, because it's been 2 weeks. And we zip it up. But if you wanted to get a bit funny with them, they'll bang you up against the wall and strip search you, because they don't care. And there was one lady who was a bit gobby. And suddenly she was rushed off into a room somewhere. Because it's their rules or no rules. Now, back to the scenario with Debbie giving you an holiday free of charge. If Debbie then says to you, before you go, it'd be good if you read up on what to expect when you get there. Would you read it up? Would you Google it and search the area? If she said there's certain laws that you've got to abide by in that country, and here they are, would you read them? Or would you just go over there and hope for the best? Now, most people would research it, wouldn't you? You'd check it out. Yet God has given us his word that not only tells us about what is to come, but it tells us about how to live this life till we get there. How to be ready with our suitcases packed and our passport in our back pocket looking like that and our money ready to go. At any time it could call us and at any time we could go. And Jesus is getting it ready. Psalm 103 is a really amazing psalm. It says this, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear him. How great is love? If you jump into 1 John, it says this, how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. I like it when somebody lavishes things on me. You know, if you say to people, can I have some butter on my scone? And they give you such a skinny... you wonder if it's actually touched. I like the butter lavished on it. I like the butter to be a gap. You know, if I'm going to have cheese on my Christmas cake, I want cheese on it. Not a skinny slice. I love, and how much the Father has loved us that he has lavished his love upon us. I like that word. That's a good word, isn't it? Lavished. You know, people lather their hair up, don't they? Long time since I've been there. But it don't mean being skinny. The love of God is so much more than we could ever dream or imagine. I mean, if you jump into John's gospel, it says this, yet to all who received him, we'll nip back, he was in the world, talk about Jesus, and through him the world was made, through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, it says, to all those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children of God. See, we don't understand this concept of children of God. Adam was a child of God because God created Adam. Eve was a child of God, but then they had children. The children were children of men. The angels were children of God. But we are children of men and women. But when you give your life over to God, you go from being a citizen of the world to being a citizen of heaven. And that's when you become a child of God, a new creation. And that's why it's in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that the old of God, knows, comes out right one. Anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. A new creation. The old, whatever that was, mental, simple, is gone. Gone. That's why we don't look back. I mean, if you're on a plane going on holiday, you can only go to the back of the plane. But some people are dreaming. I mean, how many go on holiday dreaming of, I wonder what we're doing at work this week? I wonder if bin men are coming round this week. I don't care. We're on holiday. I mean, you don't care about, oh, you run out of washing. I don't care, I'll just wear the next lot. You're not bothered. You're not bothered. But he called us children of God, and that's what we are. That's what you are. I'm trying to find Psalms again. That's what every one of us are who trust in him. We've got a passport, and the destination of the ticket in our passports is heaven. But heaven doesn't start when we get there. It starts right now. And you wonder why you've got trouble? It's because the prince of the air on this world doesn't like citizens from another country, another place. He's a racist. He don't mind earthly people. He doesn't like the heavenly people. The problem is that the heavenly people are living amongst the earthly people. And we keep doing this thing where we keep telling people about our King, our Lord. And people start going, I'm curious. I'd rather go to that destination than have no hope. And as we tell people more and more, I am told, I'm not sure how true this is, but at the minute, there is 100,000 people a day getting saved across the world. There's also thousands of people who are Christians getting killed every day for being Christians. There's also something like 4,000 churches a month being planted across this world. We think things are ups and downs here. We think we've got persecution. We're just in the taxi going to the airport sometimes. Well, people are in a train crash, and yet they're serving God. I can't remember who said it this morning. Ruth, I think it was. We've got to make our minds up about things. We've got to cross the line. We've got to step forward. And I do like what Jean said. She says there's a line we shouldn't cross, and there's not a conflict here. God's saying there's a line. You've got to step over it. But there is a line that you should never step over. It's the one just behind you. Amen. It's that one where you go, I'm just backing up. You see, you think it's easy being a pastor. I've got to make decisions. And I've got to make points, and I've got to say stuff to people that are not always easy. But I want to encourage you guys to step over that line. To be ready, because a day is coming. I've completely gone off everything. A day is coming when Jesus will come. He says, did I read this one? How high are the heavens above the earth, so is great is the love of those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as are removed your transgressions and sins. I don't know how far the east is from the west, but I do know this, if you keep going east, you keep going east forever. If you keep going west, you can go west forever. They never meet. as far as they are. It's as far. The Bible says that he's actually forgotten our sins. If he's forgotten them, then who am I to start bringing them back up of the things I did when I was 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30? Stop there. And all them between now and then. Who am I? If I've repented of them, if I've put them right and sorted things out. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. I need to just put a finger there, because not every father was brilliant. You might not have had a brilliant father. But the very best father on this planet who has compassion for his children, God's love for you and for me is greater than anything else. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And it says this, as a man, his days are like the grass. They flourish like flowers of a field. The wind blows over them and they are gone, and its place remembers them no more. One day you're going to be gone. One day you're gone. And when you're gone, you can never, you know, there's several things you'll never ever do again once you go. You'll never take communion again. Because when we get to heaven, we've just got the big celebration. The one that it represents is standing in front of us. We'll never do the bread and the wine. You'll never, ever be able to witness to anybody ever again when you get to heaven. Never, ever witness to anybody. You'll never be able to fight the devil and get up his nose, neither. Thank you. You'll never, ever. So I say this. Have fun, fight the devil and tell everybody about Jesus on the journey of life. Guys, I think it's time for us to sometimes to stop getting distracted in what could be termed and deemed religious activities. Now, I'm all for reading the Bible, I am. But at the end of the day, reading your Bible does you a load of good. And when we get to heaven, we can talk to the living word. And that's important that we read the Bible. Are you listening to that one? It is. But some people are so obsessed with reading the Bible, they're never telling anybody about Jesus. I had a friend, she was an intercessor. She prayed. And I said, are you going to come out witnessing? She goes, I don't know that. I pray. I said, when you get to heaven, you can talk to Jesus face to face. Until then, pray and then go tell people. She goes, no. She was obsessed with praying, which isn't a bad thing, but her obsession stopped her doing the Great Commission. Jesus says this to us, the greatest command, love God. Second, love people. Great command, go tell people. And that's us. And I'm ending. Woohoo! Because you're all ready to grab Debbie and book your holidays now. But Jesus says, all we've got to do, everything, is love God. Love people. And make disciples. Reach up, bless around you, grab them in. That's it. But you can't do this one if you're not showing it in this one. And you can't really be concerned about this one if you're not trying to bring people in. So if you say, oh, I love God, but we're not loving people, the Bible said, how can you love, say you love God if you don't love your brother? How do you love somebody? By demonstrating it. Saying you love me, I'm not interested. I love you, I'm not interested. It means note. It's what we see that demonstrates love. Jesus didn't say, I love you people. I love you. He came. He was born. He lived a life. And he was nailed to a cross. And he says, as they all, I love you. I love you. Now go tell people of my love, he says. Amen. So be encouraged. 2020 is around the corner. That's the last sermon of this decade. Woohoo! Yes. New things ahead. What was that verse Ruth said? John 20:20. And I think this sums everything up. 2020 is talking about the empty tomb, Jesus' resurrection. And he said, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, and his disciples were overjoyed, and they saw the Lord. One day, we won't just see him with our spiritual eyes. One day, we'll see him face to face. But until that day comes, enjoy the journey. Put up with the journey. Endure the journey. Suffer the journey for the destination that's ahead of you. Amen. Amen. Be blessed, guys.